the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 17. And we are going to start from verse 1.
And Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Baalim, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel.
Okay, now here we see the new king. Jehoshaphat started reigning. This was a very good king, and you can see his father did very great things, but he made some mistakes too. Jehoshaphat started his ministry. He did everything according to his father David, so he was a very good king. Verse 4.
But sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance.
So God inspired other kingdoms and other neighbors to bring him gifts. So the people start giving silver and gold and all kinds of things, and the word of God says he had riches, honor in abundance. The word of God says the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. There are so many Christians, they are not living in abundance. That is in John chapter 10, verse 10. And Psalm 37, verses 4 to 6, if you read, please read.
Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday.
Once you delight in the Lord and commit your life into the hand of God, God is very pleased. And then he says what he does your righteousness shines like a light and your judgment like as a noonday. That means whole world can see you are a righteous man, you are a godly man. So here we see Jehoshaphat. He was a righteous man, he was a good man, he was doing everything according to the will of God. So the fear of the Lord was in other people's heart. And they start bringing gifts to him, and he got so much riches and so much honor in abundance. Verse 6, 2 Chronicles 17, 6.
And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord, moreover he took away the high places and groves out of Judah.
Now he says his heart was lifted up. Means he was so much happy in the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord. He was completely sold out to God. Not only that, he says he destroyed all the high places where this idol worship people were doing in Judah. So he was cleaning up all the land. Verse 7.
Also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail, and to Obadiah, and to Zechariah, and to Nethaneel, and to Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites, even Shemaiah, and Nethaniah, and Zebadiah, and Asahel, and Shemiramoth, and Jehonathan, and Adonijah, and Tobijah, and Tabadonijah, Levites. And with them Elishama and Jehoram, priests. And they taught in Judah, and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went about throughout all the cities of Judah, and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat.
Now see what happened. This man, not only he was religious, but he was concerned about other people. There are some Christians, they are born again, they are living good life, but they are not concerned about others. Those people are called spiritual gluttony. The spiritual food they eat, they do not share with others. But Jehoshaphat, he was a godly man, so he sends all the priests, all the teachers and everyone around the country, and tell them to learn the word of God. And they were learning the word of God, and he was teaching every city, everywhere. That is a great thing, because if you are a godly man, let the whole world know that you are belong to God. If you're living in a neighborhood, all your neighbors should know that you are born again child of God. Each and every neighborhood I lived, I helped all my neighbors, and even though some of them very nasty, They didn't want me to in that neighborhood, even though they didn't want to talk to me, but I prayed for them, and when they got a cancer or disease or problem, I was the one helping them, and they said, what can we do without you? And I said to one of the men, you didn't want me to be here. The point I'm making, we are godly people, and wherever you live, you proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what this Jehoshaphat was doing. He was not doing himself, but he was training others and telling them, go to city to city and preach the gospel, or preach all the commandments of God, and let the people study the word of God. Verse 11.
Also some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and tribute silver, and the Arabians brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 he-goats.
Can you imagine? Here he says, Philistine people are enemy to Israeli people. Arabian people, they were enemy to Israeli people. But the word of God says, when you are godly, and if you are very religious, God will make your enemy your friends. And this is an example. All these Philistines and Arabian people got all these gifts to Jehoshaphat. That's a great thing, because some of the people, they don't like their neighbors, they don't like other people, they are prejudiced about the different people. But once you are born again, child of God, you are going to see the people with the eyes of God, and you are going to love each and everyone. So here we see, Jehoshaphat didn't ask this Philistine, hey, give us some money, otherwise we are going to come and fight with you. But he didn't say anything. People found out the godly man, religious man, and they start bringing all kinds of gifts. Verse 12.
And Jehoshaphat waxed great exceedingly, and he built in Judah castles and cities of store.
Now he got so much rich. So what did he start doing? Helping other cities, building other cities, and making his kingdom strong and healthy. Verse 13.
And he had much business in the cities of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men of valor, were in Jerusalem. And these are the numbers of them according to the house of their fathers. Of Judah, the captains of thousands, Adna the chief, and with him mighty men of valor, 300,000. And next to him was Jehohanan the captain, and with him 280,000. And next to him was Amasiah the son of Zichri, who willingly offered himself unto the Lord, and with him 200,000 mighty men of valor. And of Benjamin, Eliada, mighty man of valor, and with him armed men with bow and shield, 200,000. And next him was Jehozabad, and with him 180,000 ready prepared for the war. These waited on the king beside those whom the king put in the fenced cities throughout all Judah.
In the beginning, if you remember, Judah had only 400,000 warriors, and Israeli had 800,000 warriors, and they had a fighting. But thank God, with the 400,000, they won. And one time, last time we learned, Ethiopian army came with 1 million soldiers to attack Judah. That time, Judah had only 580,000 or something like that. So other people had more, so they call upon God, and God helped them. This time, if you see the total, all total is 1,160,000 army they have in all different areas. So now they don't have only riches, but they have all the cities, they were built properly, and fenced cities and strong cities. Plus they got the army of 1,160,000 armies. And plus there were some other armies, they are not calculated in this. Read, that's verse 19.
These waited on the king beside those whom the king put in the fenced cities throughout all Judah.
See, and other armies are not even listed. So, for example, they have more soldiers than Israel. Israeli will fighting with them. And Israeli had 800,000, and they came to do war with Judah, and they defeated them, and they killed their 500,000 people. So the Israeli people had only 300,000. But now these people have more than a million armies. And now the chapter finishes here. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 18. We are going to do a couple of chapters, but they are small. Okay, go ahead. Starting from verse 1.
Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab.
Now see, here is the mistake. Jehoshaphat has all blessings of God. He has no enemies. He is living in prosperity. But now he is having a friendship with Ahab. Ahab was the wicked king of Israel. First wicked king was Jeroboam. Then comes Ahab. The Ahab is the worst king ever was in Israel because his wife was heathen and they had more than 400 or 800 priests of heathen gods. So now what he's doing, he's having friendship with Ahab, and see what happens, verse 2.
And after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance, and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead.
Now see what happens? This Ahab invited Jehoshaphat, come and meet me, and he's also has some physical relationship with those people. So when he came, Jehoshaphat didn't go alone. He might have taken so many people with him. And so he gave big feast for everyone, and Jehoshaphat was very, very pleased. This is the way the enemy tricks you. Enemy can give you food, enemy can give you some gifts, and when you are in his hand, then he will slowly tell you what to do. This is what happened to Jehoshaphat. Now see what the Ahab is doing. Ahab knew Jehoshaphat has more than a million armies, and so if the Jehoshaphat joins with me, I can defeat the people in Ramoth Gilead. So see what happens, verse 3.
And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, and my people is thy people, and we will be with thee in the war.
See what he's trying to say? Hey, we are all one. Your people are my people are your people. So we are going to work with together and we're going to fight together. Sounds very good. But the one person is not believing in Jesus Christ. One person believes in Jesus Christ. There is no common. So the word of God says, how can you walk together when you are not agree? We have to agree in one thing. And one thing is God, Jesus Christ. If somebody, your friend or your co-worker or somebody doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, but he wants you to follow his path, say no. But here Jehoshaphat didn't know how to say no, and he got into trouble. Let's read the verse 4.
And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Therefore the king of Israel gathered together of prophets 400 men, and said unto them, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for God will deliver it into the king's hand.
Now Jehoshaphat is a godly man. He learned from David. David always asks God when he's going to fight the war. When God says go, he will go. If God says no, he will not go. So he says, can we ask the Lord that God is going to give us a victory? He said, oh, we have here 400 people. They are all the Baal gods or heathen gods prophet. And they came and said, okay, you go and God is going to deliver you. And the other king, Ramoth Gilead, will be defeated. See what happens, verse 6.
But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him?
Now Jehoshaphat came to know, these are not the godly people. They are giving advice. We want the advice from the real godly men. So he says, is there any other godly man? So he see what he says. Verse 7.
And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. The same is Micaiah, the son of Imla. And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so."
Now, when Jehoshaphat asked Ahab, "Is there any other godly man?" He said, "Yes, I know. There is a one godly man, Micaiah, but he is never tells me right thing. He always goes against me because he doesn't please me." And so he said, "Don't say like that, the man of God. Just invite him." So he invites him. Let's read the verse 8.
And the king of Israel called for one of his officers and said, "Fetch quickly Micaiah the son of Imlah." And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat king of Judah sat either of them on his throne, clothed in their robes, and they sat in a void place at the entering in of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them.
Jehoshaphat is a king of Judah. Ahab is the king of Israel. And they're supposed to stay in the palace and they should be throne there. But they brought the throne to the gate because they want all the people see these people and talk to them. So now they are sitting at the gate. Both of them have royal robes and everything. And now they are asking these people, "Give us some kind of advice." Let's read the verse 10.
And Zedekiah the son of Chenana had made him horns of iron, and said, "Thus saith the Lord, with these thou shalt push Syria until they be consumed."
Here is a one prophet. He got horns, bull's horn, like a metal horns. And practically he's showing, look at this horn, so sharp. So you are going to pierce this to the enemy and they will be consumed. You know, sometimes people want to make a point. You see some of the churches also on the stage, they bring so many things to prove their point. So here he is proving his point, showing this is the way God is going to defeat king of Ramath Gilead, and you're going to win. It is very convincing that God has shown him something and he is telling the truth, so we will have the victory. Verse 11.
And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, "Go up to Ramath Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king."
Now, not only Zedekiah, but other priests, means all heathen people, they start saying to him, "You go to Ramath Gilead and you're going to defeat them, and God is with you," and they encouraging him. Verse 12.
And the messenger that went to call Micaiah spake to him, saying, "Behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king with one assent. Let thy word therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good."
Now, one messenger went, and he brought the Micaiah, and he said, "Listen, all the prophets are saying positive that King Ahab is going to win. So I don't want you to say something else. Just be with us and say the same thing." Now, there are some people will be convinced, okay, whatever the wind blows, let's go in there. Everybody's saying this, so I don't want to be against them. So see what he is saying. He's saying, you know what? Even though you're telling me what to do, but I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to God. Let's read verse 13.
And Micaiah said, "As the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak." And when he was come to the king said unto him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramath Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" And he said, "Go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand."
Now, can you imagine? He said, "You know what? I'm not going to say anything. What God says to me, I'll say." But to please those people for a second or so, he said, "You know what? Go ahead. And Ramath Gilead people will be defeated and you will be prosperous. Go ahead." But in the writing, we don't know how his facial expression was, or he was just kidding. But the king came to know he is not telling this thing from his heart. He is hiding something. So see what the king says. Verse 15.
And the king said to him, "How many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord?"
Now the king came to know he is not saying the truth, he is kidding. Because he said to Jehoshaphat, "He never tells me the right thing. He always gives me the wrong message, and I'm always having problem with this prophet." So see what happens. Now he is telling the truth, what God has showed him. Verse 16.
Then he said, "I did see all Israel scattered, upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, therefore, every man to his house in peace.
Now he saw a vision that king is killed and all his people scattered without the king. But they came safe home and nobody was injured. And somebody will say, somebody goes to war and nobody get killed? What happened? The Ramath Gilead king told his people, do not kill any Israeli or any other army people. Just kill that Ahab, the king of Israel. That's all. So if he's killing the only one man, then he said, don't kill anybody. That's what the deal was. So prophet already came to know. No Israeli people are going to be killed, but the king will be killed like he's a shepherd. And all the people will be without shepherd, but they will go home in their house in peace. Verse 17.
And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me, but evil? Again he said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left.
Now he is saying, let me tell you more things. I only told you one thing. There's more to go. He said, I saw God is sitting on the throne and all the host of angels standing right hand and left hand. Now, all those angels are giving some advice to each other, what we're going to do. How can we tell Ahab that he's going to be defeated? But it was not convincing, so see what happens. Verse 18.
Again he said, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead? And one spake, saying after this manner, and another, saying after that manner. Then there came out a spirit and stood before the Lord, and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so.
Now, this is very tricky. Because some people will say, God sends the lying spirit. And God doing something evil and God doing something wrong. But the prophet saw God is sitting on the throne and the angels are around him. And God wanted this Ahab to go to Ramoth Gilead and get killed. That was the God's plan. That was his punishment. Because already prophet Elijah prophesied how he's going to die and what's going to happen to him. So what happened now? Angels were there, but angels did not give any convincing things to God. Then here comes the evil angel, fallen angel. He's like a spirit. He comes and say, hey, I can do it. So how can you do it? He said, well, I will go as an evil spirit, a lying spirit, and I'll go to each and every prophet and put that lying spirit in them, and they will prophesy a lie, and the king Ahab will believe them, and then he will go and he will die. And so God said, I know you are evil. You can do evil thing, and I know that's your job. Okay, go ahead. God gave him only permission. Just like a Job. You remember? God said, did you see Job? He said, yes, but you know, I cannot do anything because you have kept the hedge of protection. So if you take the hedge of protection, then only I can do something. So God gave him permission. Until God gave permission, the Satan or devil was not able to do any harm to Job. Here, Ahab, nobody was telling Joab is going to get killed and who is going to convince him to go. All other prophets, they were saying, how they said, because this evil spirit went in them and they were prophesying lie. And nobody knew. But the prophet of God, he knew in advance what was going on. So he said, this is what happened. God was sitting on the throne. The angels were all around. Not a single angel were able to convince him how they are going to let this Ahab get killed. But the evil spirit comes, it's just a spirit. So the evil spirit comes and said, I can do these things. So the evil spirit went and put into this evil things in all these 400 prophets. And that's why they were lying to the Ahab. And Ahab believed what they said, and he did not believe what the Micaiah, is the prophet of God, was telling the truth. Let's read the verse 22.
Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil against thee. Then Zedekiah the son of Chenana came near and smote Micaiah upon the cheek, and said, Which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, Behold, thou shalt see on that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself.
Now, this Zedekiah is the same person who took the iron horns and tried to convince the king, you are going to pierce with this iron horn and the king's army will be consumed. That's the same person slapping on the face of Micaiah, and he's saying, Where the spirit went? I didn't see the spirit. You saw it. Which way it went? You cannot see the spirit, because spirit is like an air. But he said, you'll come to know when somebody comes to kill you and you go hiding yourself, then you know. Verse 25. I'm sorry.
Then the king of Israel said, Take ye Micaiah and carry him back to Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son. And say, Thus saith the king, Put this fellow in the prison, and feed him with the bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I return in peace. And Micaiah said, If thou certainly return in peace, then hath not the Lord spoken by me. And he said, Hearken, all ye people.
Now, this prophet is saying to king, You don't listen to me. The king said, Okay, when I come back, I'll take care of you. He said, Listen, if you come back in peace, that means God did not give me this prophecy. And so that means you're going to die. And he told all the people, Listen to me what I'm saying. This is the truth is going to happen. And so what king does? King gives him a punishment, put him in a prison, and say, You'll get the bread of affliction and water of affliction. That means you will not get good kind of food. You don't get the good kind of drink and enough. You will even the want to eat something, they will not give it to you. And if you want to eat, drink something, they will not give it to you, but give you in a limited way. And all of these things, Jehoshaphat is listening. If I was a Jehoshaphat, right away I'll tell to King Ahab, Hey sir, I told you to bring the prophet. Prophet, give the prophecy that you are going to get killed. And you are giving him punishment. I don't want to go with you. Our friendship is finished right here. I want this prophet to be not to go into the jail. This prophet should be released. And you are going to get killed. So I'm not going to go with you, because I'm going to get killed also. But Jehoshaphat did not say a word. And that is the bad thing. Because you are looking at the king's face and you want to please king, but the man of God is suffering and he's in a prison and he got a beating and everything. But you don't care about the man of God. So God is watching. God knows everything, how you treat other people. He thought, hey, this is the king's kingdom, and whatever the king does, he can do anything, but I cannot say anything to king. So they're going for the war. And now you see some foolish things, more foolish things Jehoshaphat does. Let's read the verse 28.
So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and will go to the battle, but put thou on thy robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went to the battle.
Now see what this Ahab, he's a crooked man. He's afraid of his life, but he doesn't care that Jehoshaphat get killed. What he's saying, you know what? Now from that you know what kind of friend you have. The friend doesn't want to protect you, but the friend says, you protect me. That's the kind of friend you don't need. So now he is saying, you know what, Jehoshaphat, I am a king. I wear the king's robe. So they are going to find out I'm a king. So I'm going to disguise me. I'm going to be ordinary man. And so they are not going to find out because they made a deal. We are going to kill the king of Israel and nobody else. So he's thinking, Jehoshaphat, you are the king. So you wear the king's robe and you be king. And I'm just an ordinary person. So they are not going to kill me. The Jehoshaphat became fool. He's supposed to say, that means I'm going to get killed. But he didn't say anything. Some people said, I can give my life for my friend. But this is not a godly friend. This is a person who is selfish, who is ungodly. He doesn't care about anybody else, but he cares about himself. So Jehoshaphat goes and see what happens. Verse 30.
Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, fight ye not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel.
Now he says, don't kill anybody. Small man, big man, nobody, captain or anybody. Just look for the Israeli king Ahab and kill him.
And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore Good. They compassed about him to fight, but Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him.
Now see, they found out one king. They don't know who is Ahab and who is Jehoshaphat. And so they said, hey, found out the king, let's go. So they, all the armies surrounded Jehoshaphat, and they were going to kill him. But God knew Jehoshaphat was a good man. He's a godly man. He's trying to help his relative and Israeli king. So he's thinking, I'm doing right thing. But now all the people surrounded him and they wanted to kill him. Just like Jesus. Many people surrounded Jesus to catch him and kill him, but he disappeared. They could not see him. But now, Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do. So only thing he can do, cry unto God. He might have said, God, Jehovah, help me. I'm not the king of Israel. I came to help him. We don't know what he said because he said he cried unto God. So he might have said, Lord, I made a mistake. I came here to help him and they are going to kill me. Save me, Lord, help me. All of a sudden, God put the fear in those people's heart and they ran away. Verse 32.
For it came to pass that when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Therefore he said to his chariot man, turn thine hand that thou mayest carry me out of the host, for I am wounded.
These people had the problem. The king of Israel, they thought that was a Jehoshaphat. Now the Jehoshaphat says, I'm not a king of Israel, I'm the king of Judah, I'm a godly man, don't hit me. And so they let him go. Now it is hard for them to find who is the king of Israel because he's disguising, he's like ordinary man. And the man didn't know where to hit, he was randomly hitting. And the one arrow hit him right in the back between two shoulders. And he got hit very hard, and he told some of the warriors, I got hit, but he stayed there because he didn't want to run away, but in the evening, he died. So point I'm making, you can disguise yourself. You can do whatever you do, but God knows your heart. God knows who you are. You can fool anybody, but you cannot fool God. Hebrews 4:13.
Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
So the Hebrews 4:13 says, there is nothing hidden in the eyes of God, everything open and naked to his eyes. This man disguised himself, he's hiding under other people, but God wanted to kill him. So God said, okay, you go, and you're going to get killed. Throwing the arrow without knowing where the arrow is going, the arrow just directed and hit the king of Israel. So God knew where he was, and the arrow was looking just like we have now missiles, like they go exactly the place they want to hit. So it hit right to him in his shoulder, between two shoulders, and he died. Verse 34.
And the battle increased that day. Howbeit the king of Israel stayed himself up in his chariot against the Syrians until the even, and about the time of the sun going down, he died.
Now here in this chapter, that's the only thing he says. But go to the 1 Kings chapter 22, start reading from verse 37 and 38.
So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and they washed his armor according unto the word of the Lord which he spake.
Right. The prophet told him, you killed the innocent man, and your blood dog is going to lick. And exactly happened, and he died. And the chapter finishes there. Let's go to the 2 Chronicles chapter 19.
And Jehoshaphat the king of Judah returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu the son of Hanani the seer went out to meet him, and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly, and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord.
See, here comes the prophet. And prophet said, hey, Jehoshaphat, what did you do? God knew what he was doing. So he said, you went to help ungodly man who is the enemy of God, and you try to help him. God is angry at you. That's what sometimes we do. We try to help somebody which God doesn't want to help them. They are sinners. They practice sin. And they live in an unholy life. They want to destroy the Christianity. And when they are in trouble, you go. Bible says your enemy is hungry, feed him. But that doesn't mean all the enemies you're going to go and feed. The enemy who was your enemy, he comes and begs for your food. That's the time you feed him. Not like go and feed all the enemies in the world. So here the word of God is saying, Jehoshaphat, you did a wrong thing. You went to the wrong man. He is the enemy of God. And you love him and you go and help him. And you went and helped him. That means you are committing sin. Because you cannot approve sin. If somebody commits sin, you just tell that person you are wrong. But instead of saying you are wrong, you're sitting in his boat and singing good song for him. That is not a good idea. So this man, the prophet comes to him and tells him, God is angry at you. Now here doesn't say that Jehoshaphat repented. Sometimes people don't repent. They don't promise. So now this man went and helped the enemy. God says, I'm angry. So instead he should be saying, oh, please, please forgive me. And ask God to forgive me. I will never go and help the ungodly people again. He did not make a commitment. He has to make a commitment. Instead of that, what he's saying, you know what? I'm going to do more things for the Lord. I'm going to destroy all the idols and everything. He said, if I start doing that, God will be pleased. God is not pleased what you're doing. The word of God says, repent, confess your sins, and forsake. Then you will have mercy. Not only saying, oh Lord, I'm sorry, and you're going to do the same thing. You said, confess and forsake. Then you will have mercy. He did not confess. He did not forsake. So that's what the problem was. Verse 3.
Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God.
Now he said, you know what? God did not allow those enemies to kill you. You know why? You are destroying these idols and you are doing some spiritual thing. That's why God did not allow you to get killed. The point I'm making, sometimes God gives you a signal, but you don't get warning. This man got the warning. He said, hey, if you go there, you're going to get killed. But the king Ahab puts him in a jail and give him the food of affliction and water of affliction. And Jehoshaphat, he doesn't say, sir, I want to help you, but you don't help my prophet. That was a one warning. Second warning, he was going to get killed, but God allowed him not to get killed. And he came safe home, and he thought, well, God is happy what I did. Here comes the prophet say, hey, you did the wrong thing. Okay, verse 4.
And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city. And said to the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you, take heed and do it. For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts.
Now he's saying to people, you know what? Help the people. Do the righteous work. And don't take any bribe. Or don't take any gifts. He said, God is not respecter of person. God doesn't take any bribe. God doesn't take any gift. You cannot convince God with giving tithes and offerings. If your heart is not right, God doesn't want any offering. God wants your heart first. Some people stay home and could you take this offering and put it in the offering box? God doesn't want that person's offering. God wants that person to come in. Not only that, the word of God says when you come to the church and if you remember you did something wrong, he said, keep your offering there. Go home and make a friendship with that person and then repent and come back and then you give your offering. God is not looking for your offering. God is looking for your heart. And so here he's saying, you know what? I learned one thing. Indirectly he's saying, I learned one thing. I should not be doing this because God doesn't like this. Verse 8.
Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set of the Levites and of the priests and of the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a perfect heart.
Now he's sending the lawyers and judges and priests to help others, and he's saying, listen, when you're going there, people will have some kind of problem. So give them counseling, but the right counseling. But sometime you go to somebody for counseling, they do the counseling looking at your face. They want to please you. If you go to counseling, you say, you know what, my husband is having problem, my children giving me problem, and this and that. You think about yourself. That man is not good man. Divorce him. If those children are not good, don't keep any track with those children. Go somewhere. Take a vacation. Find some boyfriend. You don't need have to marry. So he said, you don't do that. You do everything faithfully and with a perfect heart. Don't give wrong judgment. Don't tell people something from your mouth. Do it from the God's heart. Because sometimes if you give godly counsel, people may not like it. But you're not here to please people. St. Paul says, if I start pleasing men, I'm not the servant of God. But the people are doing for the money's sake. Because they want to their people to be there. They don't want to lose people. Verse 10.
And what consoever shall come to you of your brethren that dwell in their cities, between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgments, ye shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord, and so wrath come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and ye shall not trespass.
Now he says, between blood and blood. What he's trying to say? Israeli people and Judah, they are brethren. 10 tribes went to Israel. 2 tribes came to Judah, Benjamin and Judah. Now he says, when you are with the other brothers and other brethren, do a right kind of judgment. Means don't look at their faces and do the judgment. Do the right judgment. He said, I made a mistake. He's indirectly trying to say, I made a mistake. I would have told the King Ahab, if you give up the idols, if you come to the real God and worship the living God, then I'll come and help you. But he didn't say that. That was his folly. That was his problem. Okay, verse 11.
And behold, Amariah, the chief priest, is over you in all matters of the Lord, and Zebediah, the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's matters. Also the Levites shall be officers before you. Deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good.
Now, he said, all the priests and all the Levites and everybody to judge the people and help the people. And he did everything good. and chapter finishes there. But the Jehoshaphat story is not finished here. God willing, you will see next week his story will be finishing in the next chapter. But the we see from beginning until the end, this man did so many great things. But one thing he did not do, he did not confess to God, Lord, I'm sorry. He's teaching others, do this, do that. But his heart did not change that he should not be telling Ahab what Ahab was doing mistake. He was his relative. Not only that, what he did, he got one of the Ahab's daughter and gave it to his son. So he got more relationship with Ahab and not telling him the truth. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Give us grace to follow you. Not looking left or right, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Lord Jesus, without you, we cannot live a clean and holy life. Please forgive all our sins. Wash us with your precious blood. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.